History of Persia is a Hopful Media podcast production.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the History of Persia bonus episode 32, Kirupaideia, a novel. At long last, I'm digging into Xenophon's biographical novel about Cyrus the Great, better known by its anglicized name, Cyrupedia, or The Education of Cyrus for an actual translation. On one hand, it's basically an ancient historical fiction piece. On the other, it was written so much closer to Cyrus's time, by someone who hung out with the Persian nobility in Cyrus the Younger's rebellion, so it still has insights into actual Achaemenid history and culture. Xenophon's goal in writing Cyrupedia is laid out explicitly in the opening chapter of the book, and I'll be using Wayne Ambler's translation as we go today. Xenophon begins with some abstract musings about how many regimes, regardless of system, monarchy, democratic, tyranny, oligarchy, and so on, have been toppled by those who disagreed with the system. Then he moves on to the real point. It is easier, given his nature, for a human being to rule all the other kinds of animals than to rule human beings. But when we reflect that there was Cyrus, a Persian who acquired very many people, very many cities, and very many nations, all obedient to himself, we were thus compelled to change our mind to view that ruling human beings does not belong among those tasks which are impossible, or even among those that are difficult, if one does it with knowledge. We know that Cyrus, at any rate, was willingly obeyed by some, even though they were distant from him by many days' journey. By others, distant by a journey even of months. By others, who had never yet seen him. And by others, who knew quite well that they would never see him. Nevertheless, they were willing to submit to him, for so far did he excel other kings, both those who inherited rule from their forefathers and those who acquired it through their own efforts. That's the whole thrust of Xenophon's story right there. Cyrus was such an appealing and good king that huge swaths of people were willing to obey him. This is a political treatise masquerading as a novel, masquerading as a biography. The Cyrus of Cyrupedia is Xenophon's platonic ideal of a good ruler. Never mind the usurpation or that those who submitted knowing they would never see Cyrus did so because they might see his subordinates. Those are inconvenient elements of history to Xenophon's argument, and as a result, they are ignored or even altered to fit the story he wanted to tell. Book 1 is largely an exposé on Achaemenid education, which I discussed in the main show for episode 75. In Cyrupedia, this is framed in explanation of Cyrus the Great's childhood and adolescence. Whatever formal education system may have existed in later generations probably was not as structured in Cyrus's time as Xenophon would have us believe, but despite the book's many anachronisms, Cyripedia probably is the most accurate story of Cyrus's youth. We can safely discard Theseus's claim that Cyrus was a peasant turned bandit turned warlord, and Herodotus's story of the young Cyrus being hidden away with a peasant family as a baby, only to be discovered because of his irrepressible royal instincts. Those are just common storybook tropes. Xenophon opts for something more regal, which is the most logical option. Though that's probably more coincidence than stellar historical analysis and source research on Xenophon's part. Like Herodotus, Xenophon says that Cyrus was the son of King Cambyses of Persia and Mandane, the daughter of King Astyages of Media, Cambyses' overlord and leader of the Median Empire. Per usual, the Greeks imagined the Medes as just a smaller version of the Persian Empire rather than a looser assembly of vassals, marriage alliances, and treaties. That's just par for the course, so I don't really blame Xenophon, but it's not right. As the story goes, Cyrus was sent to Astyages' court as a boy to serve as cupbearer and learn the ways of royal etiquette in his grandfather's house. That's a pretty standard upbringing for ancient and medieval nobility the world over. In his actual characterization of the young Cyrus, Xenophon portrays the king-to-be as very astute and wise beyond his years, but wise in a very Greek way. He kind of merges the wordiness of typical Athenian philosophy with the values of a Spartan, fitting for Xenophon as the Athenian student of Socrates who fell in love with Spartan culture and leadership, and for his message of what an ideal ruler would look like to a Greek audience. But it's all certainly fictional in reference to Cyrus. As a young teenager, Cyrus is sent back to Persia to finish his education under his own father's supervision. Xenophon provides lots of political philosophy to explain Cyrus's personal decisions here, but as a historical event, it does still make sense. Cyrus was the heir to the throne of Persia, if under Median hegemony, and he would need to learn how to govern his own people. At that point, history gets thrown out the window and stomped on in the dust.